Beloved, we have come to one of the turning points of the church year, which is this Sunday of the tax collector, the publican, and the Pharisee. It's a turning point because we open up a book called the Lenten Triodion that contains all the hymns that we will use at the Vespers and Matins from now all the way up to and including Holy Saturday. So this day marks a turning, a slow turning for us from the feast of the Nativity of our Lord, his baptism, his presentation into the temple, to prepare us so that we can begin the journey of Great Lent well. And we always begin this journey with this particular gospel, very short, that Jesus told, as in the earlier verses before the gospel reading begins, told to those who trusted in themselves that they thought they were righteous and they disparaged others. And as he would often do, our Lord tells a parable, a story, for illustration, to illustrate at once the peril of pride and the treasure that is humility. For the Pharisee prayed to God, and he said all the good things he did. What he did was good. He fasted twice a week. We're supposed to fast twice a week, Wednesdays and Fridays. He gave tithes on everything he had. And yet he walks away from the temple not justified, because he lives with pride in his heart. For he thanks God that I'm not like other men, like that tax collector that's here with me, like adulterers. Because we see that pride doesn't generally exist by itself, but it joins itself to a host of other sins. Judgment, which is what the Pharisee was doing. He was judging other people based on what they did. Tax collectors, that they were stealing. Adulterers, that they were committing adultery. So pride had so blinded him that he felt he was in a position to speak to God as judge of others. And beloved, this is a danger for us as well. A danger of pride. Because pride can be very subtle. The Pharisee didn't even know he had it. And yet he did. For us to see it, we must come close to God, to the light of Christ in us. Because it is only light that illumines darkness, that we can see the spots of sin that cover over Christ's image in us. It's only when we come to him in prayer, in reading Scripture, the lives of the saints, in receiving him in the Holy Eucharist, that we can reflect on our own life and see where we may live in pride and put on judgment. There are a couple of the saints who speak of this type of pride and judging in this way. And these were saints. But in their life, they had an experience where they recognized they called themselves Antichrist. The word Antichrist means one who is in the place of Christ. And whenever we judge someone, we set ourselves up in Christ's place. We put ourselves in his place, sit on his throne, and make judgments. And in making judgments, we attempt to justify our own sins. That it's not my sin, I was provoked. What this person said to me, what they did to me, it's not my fault. It's their fault. That's pride. That's judgment. Read the saints. When people sinned against them, they took the blame themselves. They said, it was my fault. I did this. I'm responsible that that person lost their temper. And I keep myself from sin by not losing my temper in return. And the publican, who is the model for us of humility. He knows his sins so well that he is sin, that his life is such sin, that he stands afar back in the temple. And he has his head bowed, and he says nothing to God except, God, have mercy on me, the sinner, and beats his breast. He doesn't look to his left or to his right to see who's praying with him, to see someone who's sinning and say, well, I'm not as bad a sinner as that person. No, he is alone before God, confessing his own sinfulness. And that's the power of that prayer that is the model for the Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, the sinner. It comes from this prayer of the tax collector. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Again, the sinner, not a sinner, not like I'm one among many, but that I'm the only one, and that everyone else should be in heaven before me, and me be last, and even only me go to hell. Let everyone else be saved, Lord. That's how far that prayer goes for us. That's humility. That's God. Because Christ is humility. And when we live in this way, it is He who is living in us. It is we then who come to Him, and He to us, so that we can be saved by blaming ourselves, not someone else. By confessing our own sins, not somebody else's. By when it comes to Lent, look at our own plate, not what someone else is eating. Keep our eyes on our own plate, what food we have. How are we keeping the Lent? Keep our eye on our own lips. What words are we saying? Not what someone else is saying. What am I saying? What am I doing? How am I praying? God, you and me. That's the prayer of the publican. It's God and me, not looking at anyone else, not looking to justify my sin, but to confess it, to own up to it, and even to take blame where blame is not even due me. That goes against the grain of our society. But then again, Christ came to be a contradiction to the fallen world. Because he came to save it, to save us, so that we can look at ourselves, root out the pride by his grace, be filled with humility with him, so that we are spared, so that we are spared judgment. Because so long as we do not judge, we will not be judged. If we judge no one, God will not judge us. There's salvation in humility. Non-judgment means God will not judge us. And we, like the tax collector, will go forth justified. Justified because it is God who lives in us by what we say, by what we do, by what we think, to his glory.